Hiya, POL. And the triptych there in the end with the three ladies. The last one, we can really make something fun out of that fact, that talk they had, that gang around the table in that veggie restaurant after Hainan. And where he, or Pio, who was just up till a month ago, a couple of weeks ago or something, heading for Sannyas or something like that, and then met that lady. The third one, who again tempted him seriously with Maya, whatever Maya it was, and he was going through and realizing that this is can be suffering, and for me it seems to be all the time. So he was a bit down, and or at least working there within himself, trying to make some order of things. And then he just stepped into that cafe and sat down with that couple. The homeless devotees, they are also very interesting characters. So then he was talking there about his sannyas is useless, and should be forbidden in this age in any way, it's just pretentious. And he took this little funny example of what he went through with these two saffron guys in a car, one of them saying, when they were driving in the middle of the summer among, you know, downtown Gothenburg, among many scarcely dressed beautiful ladies, and the one saffron guy says to the other, "Oh, don't you think that women's breasts are ugly?" And the other one laughs and says, "No, I think they are quite beautiful actually." And so on. And how, of course, then they're going to take a bath down by the ocean and accidentally ended up in a nudist camp. Actually, it's funny, and it all happened. We had two witnesses. I'm one of them. So, and then the difference between Swedish and Americans in that sense, because the Swedish monk didn't think of it so much. He wasn't disturbed at all, because that was just normal in Sweden. Well, sometimes people are nude on the beach. It's a European thing, isn't it? Nordic, at least. So what? And same. At least, you know, nowadays the girls wear bras. They didn't when I was young. So they, you know, you can make something there. And then this other Swedish lady who lives there in San Francisco and is giving sexual education in schools there in America. He visits her and they walk there in the park, and she tells him, "You have no idea how sexually, what do you say, hung up people here are." So they're talking as Swedes there. I mean, I'll make something out of that thing. And then And then this lady happens to be sitting there in the group while our PO hardly even notices who sits around the table and walks off. He's getting into it here, making his point, because he just needs to talk to someone. Some people ease his heart and convince himself, or basically just get someone else's input and feedback, you know, and response. Maybe ladies could, because ladies know ladies. And so yes, maybe he spoke a little, looked a bit at her more often. And of course she took that, as sensitive as she is and in her own world, needy as she is or was, as him trying to, you know, being flirtatious towards her, which he didn't at all mean to be. And then, just to make matters worse, he continued joking. Again, this time it got more philosophical or more practical as far as the lives of Krishna devotees and the movement he had been in goes. But can you really demand that a husband and wife, married, young, good-looking, should live in celibacy unless they want to have child after child after child, in this time and age where you can hardly afford to have two kids? And they were talking in there, you know, and he says, my parents on both sides, their families, they had six kids or so. That was normal back in those days. But, you know, gotta be practical. And they're talking like that. And his point is basically that sex is not bad and evil and completely detrimental to, you know, to your Krishna consciousness, which is transcendental after all, that it's part of relationships between us living persons. And if we just shun all such relationships, and we won't be satisfied, and we are missing the point. It gets a bit impersonal, as if everything was just about ceasing sensual activities. But we should cease with selfish, greedy, lusty sensual activities and rather use our senses in loving, caring, sharing ways. So that's really his point. So he's really getting into this now. This is the discussion we have. And so, you know, for a couple like that to sometimes show their love by giving some, you know, kind sexual joy to each other as part of their love. I mean, that's just natural, isn't it? And then she says, this is, she says, this is all quoted from what actually happened. Sex is suffering. Yeah, that's what she says. And he looks at her, not sure what she means. She's kind of speaking as a, trying to be, you know, fixed up, strict Hare Krishna renounced lady, because then you learn sometimes this is how you should say, you know, sex is suffering. So, and then he laughs and looks at the guy, her husband, you know, between guys, so to speak, saying, well, I think it's pretty nice, pleasurable or something like that. And then that's, he laughs and they don't laugh. So he realizes maybe I have spoken too much again, and then he excuses himself, and oh yeah, they are going their way, and it becomes a bit weird. And that weirdness we can here illustrate, I think, in a comical way. But then, of course, later we will show how that evening messed up things later on.